based on your faith that he loved you and gave himself for you. Also, you're going to get to live on a new earth that follows the millennial reign of Christ on this present day earth when he returns at the end of the tribulation period. And following that, there's a new earth that lasts forever. So anybody that's saved is going to live on the present earth in a glorified body. After the present earth is burned, they'll live on a new earth forever and ever and ever. That's what every saved person can absolutely, positively look forward to. Now let's add a little more detail to that. The kingdom plus its dominion. There are an awful lot of people who don't know what the kingdom of God is. I've shown you where all the saved are going. They're all going to receive glorified bodies. They're all going to be ecstatically happy. The kingdom plus its dominion. In ancient cultures, the kingdom was where the king positioned himself. We think of a kingdom as being where we say the kingdom of Great Britain. We say it's all the territory of England, all the territory of Scotland and Northern Ireland, and all the territory of Wales. That's the kingdom of Great Britain. Well, that's true. That's what it is. But in the time that the Bible was written, the kingdom had a different connotation to it. If you look in ancient dictionaries, real old dictionaries, you'll discover that the kingdom was wherever the king positioned himself. Now, God had Saul anointed king of Israel. And Saul was king of Israel. But then because of two different things that Saul had done, God dispossessed him of the kingdom, had Samuel go and anoint David, and David was made the king of Israel. From that day forward, wherever David positioned himself with this little ragged group of men that he had, that's where the kingdom of God was. Saul chased him all over creation. But wherever David was, that's where the kingdom was, where the king positioned himself. In ancient cultures, the kingdom was where the king positioned himself. In the millennial age, the king has chosen to position himself in the kingdom temple in Jerusalem. Jesus clearly indicates in Ezekiel chapter 43, that's where he's going to position himself. In the final heaven age, which follows the millennial reign, the king, Jesus Christ, has chosen to position himself in the kingdom city. The Bible is very clear on that subject in the last chapter of the book of Revelation. Very clear. No question. Now that's the kingdom of God, wherever the king positions himself. Now let's talk about the dominion of a king. The dominion of a king in ancient cultures was the territory outside his kingdom city walls over which he had authority. The king of the millennium will have authority over all his earth outside his kingdom temple in Jerusalem. Now there's going to be a city on this earth in the millennial kingdom that is very wide, very large, and in it is going to be a temple built. That kingdom, that city, is the kingdom of God. Everything outside of that kingdom city is the dominion of the king, Jesus Christ. The king of the final heaven age will have authority over his new earth outside the walls of his new kingdom city. That's his dominion. Now in Daniel 7:14, it talks about Christ receiving this kingdom. And there was given him dominion. That's the area outside of his kingdom. His kingdom is the city in the millennial reign mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 40 verse 2. And it is the kingdom city graphically described as three-fifths the size of the United States in the last two chapters of Revelation in what we call the final kingdom age. There was given him dominion, this is Christ, and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. See, it separates the two. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. So in the millennial reign, you're going to have a city right here in yellow. You're going to have this temple built in this city with a stream that flows out of it. Half of it goes into the Mediterranean Sea, the Hinder Sea. The other half goes into the Dead Sea. In the millennial reign, this is his kingdom, the city and the temple built in it. This is his dominion, the rest of the world in green. This is his kingdom, this city, three-fifths the size of the United States on the final heaven age. And everything on the new earth outside of that kingdom is his dominion, his realm, or his domain. So a lot of times when you read about the kingdom of God, you get the impression that you can lose your salvation. Because not all saved people are going to live in the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is the city in the millennial reign and the city in the heaven age. And everything outside of it is his dominion. And that's where the saved nations of the earth shall walk in it, according to Revelation 21:24. So you have to make a distinction. All the saved have the Spirit of God. All the saved go to heaven. All the saved are going to be on the new heaven and the new earth. But not all the saved are going to dwell in the kingdom of God in heaven. That is reserved for those who God deems worthy because of their faithfulness to him after they were saved. So here is the Abrahamic land grants you see here in black. This is the city with the temple in it. All the saved will live all over the earth. The faithful will live in this city. During the final heaven age, God's going to give a reward to every man according as his work shall be. If he deems his work worthy, he'll live in that city. That's the kingdom of God's city. If he did not deem his work worthy, he'll live outside on this new earth. Now, this kingdom of God that the Lord was talking about is the same one you'll find in Daniel 7, 13, 14 that we just looked at. And also in Luke 1, 30 through 33, where in verse 33 in the Gospel of Luke, talking of Christ, he shall reign over the house of Jacob, the house of Israel forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. There will be no end to his dominion. There will be no end to his kingdom. But after you get saved, the purpose of life is where you're going to live. I want to live in this city that has the temple. I want to live in this city on the new earth that has no temple. Now, I think a man plays the role of a spiritual fool if after he's saved, he thinks it doesn't matter whether or not he serves God. 1 Corinthians 15:41, and I'm going to quit at a quarter after eight. 1 Corinthians 15:41-42. Now there is going to be a difference in the appearance of born-again men and women in heaven. Some of them are going to be more gloriously appareled than others. In 1 Corinthians 15:41-42, there is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Just like the sun is brighter than the moon, and the moon is brighter than the stars, and each star differs in its own appearance, in heaven, you're going to have people you can look at, and you can see from their apparel that they are wearing, that they were faithful to Christ. You'll be able to look at other people whose garments are magnificent, wonderful, beautiful, but not as beautiful as the others, and some are going to be more glorious than others in heaven. It doesn't mean you're going to have any second-class citizens or there's going to be any sin in the bodies or anybody's going to be unhappy. But some are going for all eternity to show on the outside what they showed on the outside down here by letting Christ work in them while they were here. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. Now look, continuing in 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Okay, what kind of a glorified body am I going to get? What kind of a glorified body is Kay going to get? What kind of a glorified body is Daryl going to get? Take a look at 1 Corinthians 15:38. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. God's going to determine by his judgment at his judgment seat the degree of your faithfulness, how much you obeyed his commandments, how much you followed the teachings in his Bible, whether you were where you were supposed to be doing what you were supposed to be doing, or whether you lived your life for yourself. Because God put an incorruptible seed in you, and that seed never does go corrupt. And it's not going to be God's fault if you didn't let that seed grow into a personality in you that reflected Christ on the outside. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Now take a look at Galatians 6 and 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The life that you're living now in the flesh, and the crop that you're letting God's Spirit produce in you by being yielded ground, and not clotting yourself up where you resist every effort of God to produce fruit in you, you're going to reap in heaven a glorified body that is proportional to how much of your life you submitted and yielded to Christ. So am I. And it has to be in the place that the Lord indicated you should be. Was that a local church at Corinth? Yes. Was that a local church at Galatia? Yes. Was that a local church at Philippi? Yes. Was it a local church at Colossians? Yes. Was it a local church at Ephesus? Yes. So you need to be in one of God's local churches sowing the seeds that God approves of according to His Word, because that's going to determine your reward in heaven, and it's going to determine the outer garment that you wear. I want you to notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, I got saved because Christ won the victory over the devil at Calvary, just like we were told in Genesis 3:15, and he forever crushed the power of Satan, and now I'm set free in Christ, and he bought and paid for my soul with his own blood and won the victory all by himself. Now look at 1 Corinthians 15:57 to 16:2. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, since you are saved, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Why not? Because it's going to determine your outer apparel, the degree of your reward in heaven. Well, what's one way to get a reward? I never preach on giving here. But after Rosie asked that question, I put this in here for Rosie, and she's not here, but you are. So this continues right on through into chapter 16, verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches, notice that's plural, single, local, visible churches, each one a local entity, autonomous, independent. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye upon the first day of the week. What is the first day of the week? Sunday. Let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come, no special offerings. He said, on the first day of the week, you lay by in store, as God hath prospered you. I have always taught and believed that a man or woman ought to give as much to the Lord as they can. I have never defined what that is, nor do I intend to start. I've heard a lot of preachers say, well, I believe in tithing, and 10% is a good place to start. I will not argue with that in the least. And if you want to do that, you certainly will not be violating any scripture. But I have always taught proportional giving. If God blesses you a lot, then you give a lot. And don't sit around and try to figure out if it's 10% or 20% or 30%. Give as God prospers you. That there be no gatherings when I come. In the 28 years I've been here, I've never preached on giving. That's it right there. And yet, this church, we're solvent, aren't we, Kenneth? We're not rich, but ends meet. You'd almost think that God knew how to bring in enough from the hearts of people who wanted to give, wouldn't you? Well, I think he does. And I think if you leave it up to the Lord, it'll work out fine. Now, I'm going to start in future lessons, and I'm going to talk about these robes that they keep handing out in heaven. I'm going to talk about these crowns that they keep passing out in heaven. I'm going to show you in the scripture what it takes to get one. You have to be saved, of course, but there's a certain degree of faithfulness. And I'm sure glad that God's at the one at that judgment seat. All I can do is show you what God says we're supposed to do and leave it up to you, because that's what God's had to do with me. He's shown me what it is and left it up to me whether I choose to do it or not. But 1,000 years is a long time. It's a long time. We look upon 70 years down here as a long time, 90. Man, 1,000 years is forever, Darrell. You imagine crawling under a house for 1,000 years? You imagine working over there at the nursing home for 1,000 years, Geraldine? You imagine getting out there with those truckers for 1,000 years? Lord in mercy. Working at settling that material to those women over there for 1,000. You doing income tax for 1,000 years, Ken? Michael's the only one back there. I'm not sure what Michael does. No, I tell you, Michael, I think I've got you figured out. There was a fellow came by a gas station one time, and there was two fellows sitting out on the porch. And so he pulled up to the pump, kept waiting for them to come out and fill up his tank. They didn't come out. So finally he went up on the porch, and the one old man sitting there, he said, you run this station? He said, yep. He said, well, what do you do? He said, well, I don't do nothing. He looked over at the other fellow and said, what do you do? He said, I help him. Michael, I think that's what you do. I think you help him. No, I know you do, Michael. I'm only kidding. Well, it's 8:15, so I said I'd let you go. And Kay won't come back if I don't let y'all go. So, Ken, would you dismiss us?
Heavenly Father, we'll thank you.